start at five.
Do it into the book and turn page 279. 279.
Yeah.
some trees down and everything. It got pretty rough at the house, but, I mean, I got out after the storm and looked around, and I didn't see no tin missing, didn't see no shingles missing. I was telling Brother Glenn there, and the worst of it, I was looking at the tin on the garage going,
"That's good, right? Let go."
But praise the Lord, it didn't. So thank the Lord for watching out for us. And, as far as I know, you haven't heard anybody get hurt or nothing, have you? Okay, good. Praise the Lord for that. This is a pretty bad little storm there, so I appreciate the Lord watching over us through that. I want to tell something else the Lord did for us today. The Lord just pours blessings on us. And I think about what Preacher Billy has always said over the years, and I found this to be true. You've always said this, Preacher Billy, you can't outgive God.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever been in one of those situations where you had a heart to give to something, but you think, "Man, but I just had to pay for this, and I got this coming up," and you just feel like, "Man, I'm not sure. I want to do this, but I'm not sure." You know, every time in my experience, that I have ever done that, I have never been without something that I needed as a result of doing that. I've never said, "Man, I should have done that." That's never happened to me. And just as an example of the unexpected things, because you think, well, I mean, you know, this is how much the paycheck is. And, yeah, I mean, the Lord's taking care of us. We still have stuff from her aunt and stuff like that. We have stuff in the savings account. But a lot of people get in trouble because they don't understand the difference between savings and income.
Yeah.
Savings goes away and it doesn't come back, right? So if you're exceeding your income routinely, eventually you run out, right? So you got to be wise, is what I'm saying. You know? And I was thinking recently, man, it's just been little stuff. You know, nothing has been a big deal. You know, whatever. Unexpectedly had to buy a tire for her, man. Just little stuff or whatever. And I'm like, man, I just keep getting hit with stuff. And then, you know, the Lord laid on my heart, you need to give this or you need to give that. And I've been having that feeling. And I was like, man, I want to do that. But it's like, you know. And then today, Christina was getting some groceries, and she actually bought a little extra, more than normal, because of the baby coming up. And before she knew it, this lady she'd been talking to jumped in front of her and paid for her groceries.
Oh.
We weren't even praying for that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord already had us took care of.
Yeah.
We weren't hurting for that money. We were all right. But me and God did that.
Amen.
We didn't even ask for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just wanted to say that to encourage you. God lays on your heart to give to something, don't be afraid to do it. Because I can tell you, I have never been in a situation where I felt led to give and I gave and I wished I hadn't. It has never happened.
Right.
And I don't believe it's going to. Because even if you know, sometimes is it possible for us to get overzealous and get ahead of God on something? Yes, it is. But I don't know. I think if we're having a heart to do it for the Lord, He's going to take care of it anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's just what I believe. You know, just seeing how the Scripture says what it says, and God and His sovereignty, and God, you know, wanting us to have that heart of giving, I believe He'll take care of it. So I appreciate what the Lord does for us, and just continue to pray for Christina, if you would. You know, so week from today is what Christina has been calling Deb's eviction deadline. But I think we're all kind of hoping that, you know, as long as it'll be okay, that maybe He might come before then, because she's been taking it like a trooper, but I know she's miserable and it's so hot and everything. So, but just to continue to pray for her, everything's still looking good as far as we know. She's got her last pre-appointment on Friday, so just pray that all that will continue to go well. Continue to remember Mama, if you would. I meant to mention it the other day, but Dad had to take her to the emergency room again the other day. Had a lot of fluid build up, and they had to take care of that. And I was kind of wondering why, because they'll put her on Lasix temporarily, but they'll take her off of it. And I was like, well, why don't we just leave her on? Because, you know, she keeps having this fluid buildup. And, you know, Dad finally said it, and, you know, it was kind of a duh thing. She's only got one kidney. She had a kidney cancer. So she can't be on Lasix all the time. It showed a kidney damage. She wouldn't be able to, you know. So they're having to balance the fluid with the, trying to lift that kidney along. So just pray that the Lord will help them get it worked out. What's going on, but the Lord's taking care of her. She's able to do some stuff around the house, and Dad said that really she's using that as a means to motivate herself, not to just sit down and you know, quit as far as physically speaking, because you know what happens if somebody sits down and don't get back up and die. I mean, that's just what happens. So just pray that God will continue to help in that situation, that God would give Dad grace, and especially as he's pastoring the church there, really just pray that God would keep him encouraged and help him to have the right focus on his ministry and the church there as pastor, and then also the right focus on Mom, and not be worried as he goes to leave her and go to work every day. always trust in the Lord with it. I keep feeling like, as we were standing up here a minute ago, I felt like there was something that somebody had mentioned to me for prayer, or something that I realized was in need of prayer. And I can't remember what it is. The Lord knows what it is. But who else has got a request for prayer? But lift a hand this evening. Amen. Amen. How is Emma's boyfriend's death?
I know they took him off of all the medication that was keeping him in a coma, but he's not really responding to anything yet, so he's still got the take tube and all that. So it's good. I guess it's just kind of day by day as to how he's going to wake up and be.
So he is.
He's not on medications to keep him in a coma anymore.
So is
he's not. He's kind of awake, but he's not really like alert.
Okay, so continue to pray for that situation there. Pray for Miss Edna. She's having a problem with her hip there. Didn't you say you're supposed to go to the doctor tomorrow? Is that right? Okay, so they'll maybe decide what they'll do there. So remember that if you would. I know Miss Vivian's still been having some trouble, and the preacher Billy, always remember them and their health struggles there. Always remember a pastor that the Lord used him and guided him. Pray for him as he preaches tonight. Pray that God would help us to receive that that's given. We certainly need to pray for our nation.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes, sir. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, we're in a mess, but God's in control. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Still have cancer, and they're just trying to see where. Okay. Okay. Is Gary about the same? Radiation treatment, and as far as I know, she's done. Now, she had breast cancer, and she was actually having to stay in Fayetteville. Her husband's in the Marines, and he's stationed in Jacksonville, but he, because he was at work during the day, she couldn't handle the kids by herself, so she was having to stay with her mama in Fayetteville, just have help with the kids while she was weak from that radiation, and he was just coming and seeing them on the weekends and having to work, so I know that was difficult for them, so praise the Lord for bringing her through that and answering that prayer. Poor Paula, she's had all kind of different health problems, really, I guess, ever since you've known her. Hasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, but appreciate the Lord watching out for them. And that's one thing I don't have any worries about, you know, where those two are with the Lord. You know, they love God, so that's I appreciate that testimony. Small, God takes care of it all. And I know that we appreciate it. You know,
yeah.
I ain't gonna make fun.
Remember, Denise, you're going for heart catheterization in the morning.
All right, that is tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Remember this. You nervous?
This may sound crazy, y'all, but I thought my heart was falling asleep today. I was coming up 85 in the truck, and now around Gap, doing a lot of road construction. Well, people drive crazy these days, including truck drivers. Well, I'm coming up through there, on my side of the road. The road's kind of rough down there. I just got it patched up when you're doing that construction. Mm-hmm. Meet this other truck above mirrors. He kept on going. Didn't tear my truck up none. Like I said, whenever I got off the interstate, he was long gone. So I just come up 18. So just the way people drive these days, especially around trucks, I know I've harped on this before, but you know, we can't stop fast.
No.
We can't get out of the way fast.
Yeah. That's one that I think I've seen it get worse too. That's, I mean, you know, when we see the spiritual decline that we see in our nation and our society, it makes sense that we would see a general decline in people's just common courtesy. Because really, I mean, the only reason we have common courtesy as Christians, the Holy Spirit of God works that in us. But then, you know, as a lost person, the Bible talks about how He has written His law on our hearts. We have a conscience. We have an understanding that there is a right or a wrong. But without that restraining power of the Holy Spirit, man, you know, as a lost person, it's a whole lot easier to override, you know, that God has put in there. So really, you know, we don't wonder at it, but at the same time, it's, praise God that He watches out for us, that's for sure.
That would have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, people have no conscience and common sense left in America.
Yeah.
They really have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's really pray for Israel too, and I know we are, and I think I'm starting to get the idea that the Israeli people have the understanding that the common person in America is praying for them, and I hope they understand that, because I feel like our leaders aren't treated very well. But, you know, they just took out a couple of Hamas leaders, and, you know, some of them just raising Cain over it, and I just want to be like, you know, I mean, America, we don't take out our enemies anymore. We're too diplomatic for that.
Yeah.
You got a nation that knows how to fight a war, you know, when they see a leader of their enemies and they take him out, that's war, you know. So, you know, it's one of the things that I praise God that He allowed them to be able to defeat those enemies.
Yeah.
And we just need to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and that God would give guidance to those leaders in Israel. As I've said before, I would like nothing more than to see Hamas brought down, Hezbollah brought down, and for God to establish Israel and set them up, you know, even higher than where they are. But that may not be God's will for this point. God has a plan for the winding down of this world. And that the way that plan goes is at one point, every nation in this world will be against Israel.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to find myself praying against the plan that God wants to have. So all I can say is His will be done, and I can pray for the peace of Jerusalem because God has told us that we should pray for that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Pray for my lost friends, and I believe they can pray that from the school today.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Remember this.
You know that our first cousin of mine in South Carolina, we've been praying for, Bill Rector, he was in the hospital for 3 months. Fell out by his grace over there.
Amen. Amen.
That's what prayer does, man.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
He was strong enough to just jump a burst, you know. What is Christ done today?
Amen. That's all right.
Amen.
That's one thing I told my kids, and I don't mean to be taking up a bunch more time, but we've been reading through Isaiah recently. And we've got down to like chapter, I want to say it was like 25 or 26. And it was talking about some stuff that, you know how a lot of prophecy is where you'll have a fulfillment in the immediate, and then there may be a future fuller fulfillment of that prophecy, and a lot of it culminates in the last days, and this was some prophecy that very obviously had some last days fulfillment, and you're reading it, and it's just bad, 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 bad. But then you get this little part about the remnant that's spared and how they're going to praise the Lord. And that remnant being, that will be of Israel, right? Because we're already going to be gone. But that's what I was telling my kids. I was like, man, you know, everything, it does look bad right now. And all this stuff that God's telling us, it's going to get bad. But God's in control. And we're His people. I was like, that don't even necessarily mean that we're not going to have to go through real bad stuff. It does not mean that at all. But it means it's going to be all right. And God's going to take care of it. And in the end, we're not even going to care.
Yeah.
That's good. And I mentioned that verse, you know, you read it the other day, that and I was like, and this is that word preacher Stoney likes, for I reckon that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared, you know, to the, what, I forget how it goes, to the glory that is to come?
Yeah.
And something like that.
Yeah.
But, man, the hope that the child of God has, the hope that we have in Him,
amen,
that we don't have to fear the stuff that's coming. A lot of times it's hard not to. I get down, I struggle with it too, but we got no good reason to.
Right.
You know? So I just, man, God's good to us.
Thank God for saving me.
Amen.
Being good to me. I thank God for answering prayers. And I got some special requests for some pretty good things to pray for them. I got lost loved ones asking them to pray for them. And let's pray for revival. Let's remember not to pray for revival for this person or that person. You might think needs revival, but let's remember the most, the number one one that needs revival, that's me.
Yes. Amen.
When I consider it's me.
Yeah.
And when you consider it or be you.
Yeah.
And, let's pray that, that God, if we don't desire, like we should pray, God give us desire for a while.
Yeah.
That we can be like when David writes, it says, search my heart. We say that with every intention and honesty. That if that's the thing that's in our heart, that we won't want to be like.
Yeah, amen.
And, you know, that's what we're going to pray. And just pray for that. He prayed for my dad. He went to church again Sunday morning.
Amen.
I know preacher Curtis Frisbell had come down and preached plain that morning, and he met with us after church to meet with us. And we already planned that out. He talked to him. He's coming down to meet with us after church. I said, yes, it's going to be good. You know, I told him, I said, y'all can get out earlier than we do. I said, just wait there at the house. I said, you know, you're welcome to go to the house, whatever. I guess he sent that to him. So we got there, he's at the porch, he's talking to him, you know. And he'll be a stranger, you know, he goes. But he talked, you know, he had some good conversation with him. And, you know, I hadn't even told him all the things and outs of that, mine, his relationship with the Lord, all this that. But anyways, long story short, for whatever reason, he seemed to think that was a lot more spiritual than I've ever seen in Acker College. And so that tells me that, you know, it's on his mind that day at least, you know, to speak better of God than he did himself. And I don't know, that might not seem like a big deal, but it is to me.
Yeah.
And I thank God for it.
Yeah, amen. I was going to ask too, has anybody heard from Brother Bonner? Okay, pray for them. I notice they're not here this evening. They've been doing better recently. I know he's still struggling with like his back and his hips. tickets and stuff and being able to sit long periods of time. Understand, my understanding is that that other one is pretty well, it's done, I think.
Who was there today?
Yeah. It's all this right, because she was sick, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Lucy? Anybody got an update on that?
No, but I remember.
What did you say, honey? Katie texted and said that Randy's had surgery the 21st of August.
They said he's had surgery back on the 21st of August.
Okay. Lucy?
Yeah.
Okay. I was she? Okay. We can hardly keep up.
Richard Billy, how are you earlier? And Miss Vivian will give you a Bible. Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all was here and I caught that. I mentioned about a week ago that my Bible was on its last limb. I was going to have to retire it. And I guess Richard Billy heard that. He called me today and he wanted to know what size and style of Bible I wanted. And
so I thought that was awful sweet of him.
Hey.
He wasn't gonna let me have it. He said, just hold on, I'll give it to you in a minute. I said, I'll use it. He said, okay. But in any case, I'm thankful tonight to be here. Lord, that's just the right size. That is absolutely perfect. I love that. That's what I like. Look. Yep, it's black. It's the right size. That right there is big. Hold that in the Parker. That's Stephanie's. That's for a man right there, man. You gotta be working out to carry that thing around. I get to carry that thing around like this, and my arm gets tired. That's for sitting down at the table studying. I need to carry it around with you. That thing right there is a beast. Let's see. I wonder what they got this thing, what the preset is on this thing. It's between Psalms 71 and 72. That's where they have the marker in there. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Amen. Are y'all glad to be here?
Yes.
Amen. I am glad to be here. Thank God for it. Let's see. Let me get forward here. We got this thing's a little bit hard to flip in here, ain't it? No, it's brand new. It's been a long time since I had one that was brand new. I like it though. Anyways, talking about having a revival. You know, we're gonna beat that beat before you know it. As fast as July has gone by, tomorrow will be August. And August will go by before you know it.
Yeah.
And after August goes by, it'll be time for a revival meeting, which that's all we've done is schedule a meeting. We haven't scheduled a revival. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
But the Lord, He does that.
Yeah.
But we've scheduled a meeting. But the revival, you say, well, you know, we'll have a revival if the Lord just meets with us. And that's the case, yes. But you know He will meet with you if you want it.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, for several years, we've been up there to youth camp every year, and every year God just really meets with us up there, preacher. I mean, it's just something else. And I've sat and I've wondered and I've pondered and I've meditated on that. Why does God see fit to meet with us up there in such a way that I don't see anywhere else? And I finally, this year, the Lord was good enough to give me the revelation to show me why that is. It's because the majority of people there, thank you, Kobe, I appreciate you so much. The majority of people there, they don't have any kind of preconceived notion about what should happen or what's going to happen. They're not criticizing what anybody else is wearing or what they're doing or if they're late or if they're too early or whatever else they're doing. They just are fully open to see what God's going to do. They're letting Him lead. You see what I'm saying? Now, there is a few of us adults up there, you know. Remember what Jesus said? He said, except you should be born again and become as a little child,
yeah,
you shall know I was entering the kingdom of heaven. What He's talking about is, you know, laying aside all of those things that we have as adults where we begin to doubt, we begin to fear. You know, when I was a child, I was foolish like a child, and I was also fearless like a child. You know, when I was a child, I didn't worry about nothing. I just trusted whatever Daddy said. I didn't have to question it. I didn't have to get to the bottom of everything. You know, as a matter of fact, if I did question it, why? It's because I said so. Dad never explained himself one time. Daddy didn't have to explain himself. And he beat you hard enough that you learned not to ask. Times. You know, if he said not to do it, or if he said to do this, you just done it. You learned just to do it. And you learned that, you know, Daddy and Mama knew what's best for you.
Yeah.
Every now and then he'd let you make a mistake, and he'd point it out to you later and show you how it's better off to listen to Mom and Dad. Then you grow up, and then you begin to, you know, learn for yourself, and you become a teenager. Oh, what an awful time that is, right? I remember hated being a teenager. if some of y'all have teenagers, you might hate having teenagers. You know, but remember you was like that at one point in time too. But in any case, we developed this sense of, you know, we know something now, right? We know something now. We know how things are to be. We know how things are to go. So when we come to church, we come to revival meeting. We know how the meeting are to go. Well, this song right now, this thing, such and such needs to say amen. And right now, if we sing this song, then when we get to this one part right here, everybody's going to get in order. And, you know, if we just get this preacher to come, I like the way he preaches so much, it's just going to really matter. Oh, so-and-so is finally going to get saved. And we're going to tell God how revival needs to go. I'm going to tell you, we'll have revival when we come in here with an open mind and say, God, just you do what you want to do.
Yeah, amen.
And just let God have free reign. And you'll see that God will move. That's what I'm praying. That's what I'm praying. I believe God will do that. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles. Wait a second. Is anybody going to say it? Go ahead, Sauce. I forgot. You bust that thing, Father.
Rock of ages, plant for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my wound.
Encourage you. I wish God would let me preach something like this every time I preach. If y'all behaved better, maybe I could. But you know, sometimes the Lord just gives you something that's just lift you up, just help you, just remind you of how good that He is. And it might remind us of how unworthy we are, but whenever He be lifted up, the Bible says all men are drawn to Him. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm glad of that. I like to be able to preach on this thought, and I'm going to tell you, we're going to be preaching on the grace of God tonight.
Amen.
And we're going to find our text in Galatians in chapter number 5. Galatians in chapter number 5, beginning in verse 1. You can find your place if you want to stand with me. We'll read here just a little bit. We'll read verse 1 and going down through verse number 15. Preacher, this is perfect. This is just like the Bible. This is written. Like this is like in the same, like where chapter 5 starts and where verse 15 ends, it's the exact same. That's what I like. That one says Schofield, but it's all wrong. It's out of order here. Like I know in mine, when I go to a certain scripture, I know where to find it. Like I know what side of the page to look on, you know. In Galatians in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law," listen to this, "ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should have not obeyed the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Now I want to go ahead and read verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we'll stop right there. Father, we thank you for your word and pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it. God, to the preaching hour, may you be magnified and glorified. Lord, I pray, God, that the name of Jesus be exalted here in this place here tonight, and that you be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Meet with your people tonight, God. We have no other hope, God, except you would move upon me, Lord, in this hour. God, may you preach through me, Lord. Let it be not my voice, but as the voice of God from on high, Lord, that you are heard here tonight. And may your words be received into our hearts and minds, God, that we may have them and hide them in our heart, that you be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. I'm going to preach on this thought tonight. It's going to give us a title. I'll go with the latter part of verse 4 here, Fallen from Grace. We've heard this expression before, and you've probably heard it before. And, a lot of times, sadly, people will take that verse out of context to a point to where that admit that they're trying to give it a description that means the exact opposite of what God intended. Now that's just the way that Satan works. Notice here that we're talking about doctrines of devils. Jesus Christ, that he came to die for sinners. He said that he came into this world to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. The Bible tells me that it's by grace you're saved through faith and not of works. Amen. Yeah. And I'm glad tonight that I'm saved by the grace that is through Jesus Christ, through the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Hey, the Bible tells me this. There's many out there, and there is even today, that would deceive. He says here, and he understands that there's been somebody, there's been some person that has given persuasion to the people here in the church in Galatia that he's writing to. And he says this, this persuasion in verse 8 cometh not of him that calleth you. What he's saying here is this, is that there is a doctrine, that there is an ideology that is dangerous. The Bible says in another place, Paul writes and tells us like this, he calls it, in the last days, men will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Yeah. Now you might think that they're talking about all kinds of abortion and all that could be included in it. And homosexuality and pornography and fornication and all them things, that could be included with it. But in that context, he goes on to say that those men have their conscience seared with a hot iron. And it says that they forbid to marry. And it says that they, it goes on to mention, it says they command to abstain from meats which God has sanctified. Hey, I'm going to say this. What he's talking about is he's talking about legalism.
Yeah.
He's talking, when you say, well, preacher, what is that? I know most of y'all probably heard that term. And I'm sure some of you are very familiar with it. In short, it encompasses anything and everything that says that what you do can justify you.
Yeah.
That if you've got a couple boxes you can check off, that you're somehow justified. You say, well, preacher, what's included in that? That if you think for a second, let me tell you something, that the way you dress is getting you brownie points with God, you're wrong, honey.
Yeah.
If you think that because that you've got a King James Bible, we just done a study on this, right? That it is the most accurate verse. If you think it gets you brownie points with God, you're wrong, honey.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You say, well, preacher, I thought that that's what we're supposed to have is the King James Bible. Honey, that's for your benefit. That's not for God's benefit.
Yeah.
Amen. Whenever we've got a copy of the King James Bible, it is because that it is the most accurate translation. We want the real thing. Amen.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. But hey, God doesn't just smile on you because you've got a King James Bible.
Right.
I would say this, God smiles on me tonight, not because of what I do. If it's up to what I do and say and think, hey, I'd be the furthest away from God than anybody. I want to say this, brother, God, he smiles on me. He loves me. He says, that's my child. Hey, I want to say that whenever he looks at me, he looks at me with eyes of love and understanding, because I stand just in the sight of the Lord, and it's because of the shed blood of Jesus through the grace of God and that alone. There's nothing else I can say. There's nothing else that I can lift up to God. There's nothing else that I can claim. I couldn't pray enough. I couldn't study enough. I couldn't do enough right things. I couldn't quit doing enough wrong things. I want to tell you that the balances of sin would never weigh out in my favor. And I want to say that they'll never weigh out in your favor. It don't matter how much good you think you've done and how many boxes you think you've checked off and done right. I want to say that your sin will still far outweigh it.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
It is by the grace of God. Whenever we begin to give ourselves little extracurricular things, to add to it, he says we take upon ourselves bondage. Mm-hmm. Now, there in verse number 1, let me not get ahead of myself. Let me just go with this same thought. He says here, talking about them that have persuaded otherwise, he says, who did run well, in verse 7, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He said, where is this doctrine come from? There is a doctrine, there is an ideology that teaches that to fall from grace is something you can do willingly in your flesh, that because you've sinned enough, or you've done enough wrong, or you haven't prayed enough, or because you didn't want to go to church, or because you didn't love God as much as you should. Guess what? As long as I'm in this old sin-cursed body, you know what? There's a part in here that loves God more than anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's a part out here that don't show it.
Yeah.
And the flesh wars against the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that I just have to come to church because I know that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
It ain't because I just so want to get to church. There's times that I read my Bible because I know that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
There's times that I pray because I know that's what I need to do. It's a discipline.
Yeah.
You understand? What does it mean to be a disciple? Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about that? Well, it means to walk in the discipline of something.
Yeah.
To be a disciple, to be a follower of this person. And that word comes on a discipline.
Yeah.
Where we get that word discipline from. And it's not talking about, you know, when you talk about discipline your children, we often equate that with chastisement. In fact, chastisement and discipline is not quite the same thing. Chastisement is the correction of wrong action. Discipline is the teaching of right action. Amen. To follow.
Yeah.
And so whenever we talk about discipline in our children, we teach them what is the right things to do. We teach them what is right and favorable in mom and dad's eyes, what's favorable in God's eyes. And that's the way they ought to live their lives. That's what they ought to do. But that doesn't mean that I don't sit up and that you always want to do it. I don't always want to obey the speed limit. But I know that's what's best for me and everybody else on the road. I don't, my wife don't always want to obey the speed limit, but God help us all, that's what's best for everybody on the road. As if she'd obey the speed limit. She's a pretty good driver, though. I put, you know what's bad? I'm a mailman. I put more brakes on her vehicle than I do mine. That's pretty bad, isn't it? But in any case, having discipline. If without discipline, you know, I wouldn't be here serving God. I wouldn't be a pastor. There's a part of me that loves it more than anything, right?
Yeah.
There's a part of you that loves God more than anything.
Yeah.
If you were saved, it's there. But it doesn't always show itself, does it?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like kind of like how you love your children. You die for them. You do anything for them. But sometimes that love's just not as strong as it is other times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's because we live in an old sin-cursed body.
That's right. Yeah.
It's because we live in this wicked flesh. That's why the Bible tells us here that it says we have, in verse 5, it says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The hope of righteousness. Hey, I look forward to the day when I put off this sin-cursed body.
Yeah.
When I put off the flesh. And I'm renewed in true righteousness that comes from the Lord. And the Bible tells me, as a matter of fact, that I've been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Amen. If you're saved, that's what the Bible says, that you've been predestined. God's already got a plan for your life, that if you've been born again, that you will be conformed. That means pressed and made alike in the fashion of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
But that day's not here yet. And so we go through this struggle. And as we go through this struggle, we can allow our sinful nature to creep up and to take too much hold. That's the thing too. And that's why Paul tells us here, and he warns, and he says this. He says, verse 13, for you have been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the laws fulfilled in word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor, even as thyself. He says this. He says that you've been called to liberty, meaning that your works and your goodness and all of your deeds ain't what justifies you. You can try all these things, you can dress all these ways, you can do all these things, be in the right places and everything else, and it's still not enough to justify you. It is the blood of Christ that justifies you. Can I say this? I don't want to offend nobody here tonight. I believe this. I believe that this right here, the King James Bible, I do believe it is the most accurate translation By the grace of God, I'll preach this till the day I die. I will tell everyone that comes to this church to get you a copy of the King James Bible. But I want to say this, there's people that's been saved without a King James Bible, under some other version. I want to say this, they're just as saved as I am. Yeah. They're just as saved as you are. Why? Because it is of the power of the gospel. Yeah. It is not the power of some translation, no matter how good or bad the translation. It's the power of the gospel. Amen. There's been people that don't even have a copy of the Word of God. They've never had a copy of the Word of God. But some old blessed preacher went by their way and told them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they heard it. And the Holy Ghost sowed it into their heart. They received the Lord Jesus. And I will say that one day up there, they're going to be just as saved as I am. They'll be just as saved as you are. Because, friend, it is by grace. It's not by works. Hey, I didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. You ain't going to earn it. You ain't going to earn a better spot in heaven than somebody else because you do this thing and that thing. Hey, if you do, there will be rewards there, but those are going to be by faith as well.
Amen.
By trusting God.
Yeah.
By having confidence in His grace. It ain't about what you do. It's about what He's done and what He's doing.
Amen. Yeah.
Sometimes y'all might be like me, and sometimes I gotta get rid of this. I'm gonna keep playing with this plastic. I'm throwing it under there. I'm gonna forget about throwing it away later. I'm fine with it, but I keep playing with it. But y'all might be like me, and this is what I do. I'll do things real good and right for a while, you know. Man, I'm just really on fire. I'm praying a lot, and I'm studying a lot, and I'm going to witness some people a lot. And I'm like, you know, man, I'm right where I need to be. I'll start feeling that way. I won't be foolish. Y'all just as prideful. Y'all do the same thing. And if you don't, it's because you ain't even got there. But if you ever do that, and you will know what I mean, that pride will set in. You'll start thinking, you know, you're really impressing God. He'll humble you.
Yeah.
He's got His ways. I thank God for that. I thank God for being God. You know what? Whenever I can come as close as I can to doing everything God wants, I know this, and I've learned this, that I still ain't no more saved than I was at my lowest.
Yeah.
And part of that's sad on my part, but it's also glorifying on His part.
Yeah.
Amen. And although it's partly sad on my part, I can still rejoice about it. Because you know what? Even whenever I get to them other days when I don't feel like I'm a Christian anymore, and I don't feel like I'm worthy to even call on the name of the Lord, and I don't feel like I'm even worthy to come to the house of God and open the Word of God and read it, and I feel so dirty and stained with sin because I've been wicked and because I've thought and said wickedly, hey, I want to tell you this, I'm just the same as I was the other time because it is by the grace of God. It is by the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross and washed my sins away. I've been justified in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I'd say concerning the title I give this tonight, Falling from Grace, in the way that He means it here, whenever He says they are fallen, He says that Christ has become of no effect to them. Let me just go back to the first verse here, and we'll get there. We'll close with that about that. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He said, well, preacher, he could be just talking about sin. The Bible says that he that commits sin is the servant of sin. And he is talking about sin. He said, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Yeah.
But he's also talking about this. Whenever I was a sinner, I felt condemned because I wasn't keeping the law. And I've told y'all my testimony. I tried to get the law sorted out. I tried to do all things right. And the weight of sin just kept falling on me, and I just kept feeling it more and more, and it never was enough. And then one day I heard the gospel, first time in my life. I realized that I couldn't do it, and Jesus done it all.
Yeah. Amen.
And that was that liberty. That was that freedom. That's when them chains were broken. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it wasn't because I quit doing this. It wasn't because I started doing this. I couldn't break them chains. I was like that maniac in the tombs of Gadara, where no man could bind me, no man could do anything. said, you can take that to the extent, and there's many that do, that say that that means you can just live how you want to, and you can just go out there and look up. He says, use not liberty as an occasion for the flesh, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about liberty. Liberty doesn't mean that because you're saved, you can live as worldly as you want to, which I guess you can, technically speaking, if we're getting real theological about it. Because if you're saved, you're saved.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, it'll destroy you.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
It'll ruin your life.
Yeah.
You will not find no satisfaction in it.
Right.
You ever find satisfaction laying out of church? I don't. I might miss, it don't take long to miss them. And you think, well, I'm just tired, I just need, you know, I just need some time for me or whatever. I don't know what you think, but whatever you think, it don't ever pay off. I know that.
Yeah.
Amen. In the same sense, whenever we live in a way, in any way, that's not glorifying to God, it doesn't satisfy. And if it does, it's only temporary.
Yeah.
It doesn't last. You know, when we get to live for Him, it's not about as if He needs us. It's our benefit. It's a blessing to us that we can live for Him, that we can serve Him. And so He says this. He says to not use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Liberty is not about being saved and living as close to the world as you can. It's about the fact that if you're saved, though you be worldly minded, but you are. You say, well, I'm not. You say, I'm at church on time every time, and I don't care what you say. I got the King James Bible, and I know that that means something. And you might say, well, I wear the right kind of clothes, and I go to the right kind of places. Now, you can't even get your pride under control.
Yeah, yeah.
What good is the rest of that going to do you? You can't even get your lust under control. What's the rest of that going to do you? You can't even get your greed under control. What's the rest? What good is the rest of it going to do? Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Yeah.
Having liberty is about this, that even though you're a vile sinner, you can get as close to God as you want to get.
Right.
Amen. Though I fail not, I'm still praying to the throne of grace. Amen. The throne of mercy and power. God still attends to my prayer and still hears me. He still hears you. He listens to you, and He wants to know what's on your heart. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to read His Word and pour your heart out to Him. Even though you're failing, He knows that. Matter of fact, He knew that when He went to the cross of Calvary. The Bible said when Isaiah prophesied in 53, he said, by His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Hey, He knew me. He knew you. And He knew everything I'd say or think or do. He knew everything you'd say or think or do. And He still went to the cross for your sake.
Amen.
I think about that song. Are you washed in the blood? That first verse, the second line, says, are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood? Are you fully trusting in His grace? What does that mean, to fully trust in His grace? That means to let go of all this, well, I did this and I did that. It don't matter if it's positive or negative, you still got them balances out there.
Yeah.
As long as you got them balances out there, that's not of grace for you. Grace is whenever all that goes away and it becomes complete righteousness that comes by the bloodshed of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
That's grace. And so whenever we look at this and it talks about falling from grace, there's many that have said that this means something opposite of what it does. That you can fall from grace because of your sin or because you've done something or because that you've sinned away from God. And if you're saved, I want to say this, that if you're lost, you can sure enough sin away from the day of grace.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us in Romans 1 there isn't such thing as a reprobate. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God their knowledge, He gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Hey, I'm going to say this, that if there's people right now that are lost, and there comes a time whenever they say, I don't want to even think about God, I don't want nothing to do. Sometimes that's the worst thing that ever happened to any of us, God give us what we want. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about falling away from grace. There's many that would teach that if you do this and do that, you can fall away from God's grace. Let's look at what the Bible says about those people. The Bible says this. He says, but he that troubles you, verse 10, shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. There's judgment coming from God for those individuals. This isn't a neutral ground to stand on.
Right.
That's why I don't get. That's why I'm not going to get in line and fellowship with Free Will Baptists. Amen. Yeah. That's no better than Catholicism, people.
Yeah.
When you go to believing, if there's things that can add to your salvation or things that can take away from your salvation, hey, it is in His hand. Anything else is just glorifying the flesh.
Amen.
That's what it's about. It's about glorifying the flesh. And He says this. He says in verse number 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. He said, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. He said, my desire is that they God strikes them dead. That's what he's talking about. That they would be cut off.
Yeah.
He said, that's what I desire. Hey, just like Joel Osteen and all them false teachers. Hey, I want to say this, that any man, woman, or person that would teach any other gospel than that of Jesus Christ saved by faith, through grace, by the blood that was shed on Calvary. Hey, I'm saying the same thing. Let them be cut off. Hey, I'm going to say this. Why? Because there's people that are being deceived. Amen. Now, there's going to be many on that day that Jesus will say to them, they'll say, Lord, Lord. There'll be people that call Jesus Christ Lord. And they'll say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. They'll say, Lord, have we not done these things in your name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name, the many wonderful works. They're going to say, Lord, we've done all this in your name. He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Why is that? It's because they were never born again. It's because they were never called by the grace of God. They never submitted and stood in the grace of God. Hey, I want to tell you this. Whenever we're talking about a true born again Christian, he's talking to those that in Galatia that were born again, and he's saying this. He said, I know that you know better than this. There's many out there that are lost. They can have a false salvation. They can be deceived and think that they're saved. But there's also many who have truly been born again that can come under that yoke of bondage, that can fall from grace like he's talking about there in verse number 4. He says, you're fallen from grace. And how is that? It's because that Christ has become of no effect. Why? Because all of a sudden your good deeds and your good things that you do and the bad things you refrain from mean more to you than the blood that was shed on Calvary. And that's who he's talking to. And that's who he's writing to. But it's not saying that you can lose your salvation over it. What he's saying is this, is that you lose your freedom over it. You lose your liberty. You lose your joy. Satan comes along and he says, look at you. You've done this and you've done that. And I want to tell you this, the men and the people that will preach that to you, they tell you that. I'm going to say this, that they just as bad as sinners as you are. I'm going to say this, that there's nobody that is without sin except for that of Jesus Christ. And that's why my full hope is in Him and the shed blood that He gave on Calvary. And if you've got a hope today, it's going to be in Jesus Christ. It'll never be in what you've done or what you haven't done, but it's going to be in the blood that was shed and the grace that was given.
Amen.
He says this. He says, verse 1, be not again tangled with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. What was circumcision? It was the mark of someone who belonged to God. You might have the right marks. You can have all the right marks, but the Bible says He searches the heart and the reins.
Yeah, amen.
The mind and the heart. Can you hide what's in your mind from God? Can you hide what's in your heart from God? You can hide it from me. I'm glad that you do. I don't want to know about it.
Right.
But you can't hide it from God.
Amen.
If those that loved you could see everything that you think, they probably wouldn't love you the way they do. that's just how pitiful we are. We can't even not love it unconditionally the way our Lord does.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that he has a love for me. Yeah. That even though he can see, even though he knows while I was yet a sinner, he died for me.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? The Bible says, my sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. But they're not to be found anymore.
Right.
That's what the blood has bought for me. That's what it's bought for you. That's what grace has done in my life. That's what grace has done in your life. Now, I'll tell you, to fall from grace doesn't mean that we fall and lose our salvation. It means that we fail from liberty. We fail from freedom. You ever just feel overwhelming guilt? Overwhelming, you know, just condemnation. You know where it comes from? It comes from not standing in the grace that God's called you to.
Amen.
That's the only source of that. When you stand in the grace that God's called you to, there's freedom, there's joy. No matter what, you can still mess up, and when you do, you can just say, Lord, forgive me and help me and sanctify me that I wouldn't sin against you. I want to glorify you. And you know what? God will come by, and that sweet spirit will swoop you up and remind you that you're a child of the King and that you are a holy vessel, that you've been set aside for the use of God Almighty. And he'll continue to help you and lift you up. And even though you're failing miserably, hey, he's still willing to work in your life and to use you. And it's because of his grace. Says in verse 3, for I testify to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you're going to have the right kind of marks, see, that's what I think is funny, is different people's marks are all different. Some people think you got to, these churches where, you know, every man in there needs to have on a three-piece suit. Mm. Every woman needs to have on a one-piece dress, you know, it comes down to their ankles. These churches that think that, you know, I don't know, these people, everybody's got their own standards. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own standards. There's some that think you shouldn't have a beard, and some says you should have a beard, and some says that you need to have short hair, and some says you need to have long hair, some says you need to wear this thing or wear that thing or do this thing or do that thing. There's all kinds of different standards that ain't in the Bible. Right? And even if they are in the Bible, here's a big one. Some of them are just markers, like circumcision. Mm-hmm. Is it not commanded in the Bible? But yet he says it's just a marker, it don't matter.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it matter? Because it's just a marker. You know what the marker is now? The seal, the eternal seal of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, amen.
That's the marker.
Yeah.
When God saved me, when he saved you,
amen.
That eternal seal was applied. But he says that if you're going to have that marker, he says you're a debtor to do the whole law. Mm-hmm. You keep the whole law. Tell me one day, one thing you need to mark about, you can do one day that you've kept the commandment of God in your heart, in your mind. It says in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. If it's what you do right that justifies you, that's fallen from grace. It ain't the fact that you've done wrong. It's the fact that you think what you're doing right can justify you, or if you do more right, it'll justify you. You ever felt miserable and low down? He's got grace for that.
Yeah, man.
You know where a lot of that comes from? Satan likes to come along there some of the times whenever we're most vulnerable. And he likes to remind us of how weak we are. That's why I love that song, The Son of the Blood. You know, it tells that story. How Satan come along right by my side, making me feel low. bringing up thoughts of hurt and pain. All the times that you've done wrong. And I forget all the words of the song, I sure ain't gonna try to sing it again. But it says, gets that course, says it's under the blood.
Yeah.
It's under the blood. That's about our answer for prayer.
Richard, could I say something?
Go ahead, Richard.
You're a male man.
Yeah.
Well, the only way you'll pick up a letter, there's got to be a stamp on it. The only way that we're going to get picked up, we'll have to have the blood.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I just thought about that.
That's right. Amen. As we're sitting here tonight, our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll ask you, are you standing in the liberty he's called to do? Is that where you're standing? Are you being buffeted and beaten down because you don't feel worthy? Hey, you can feel worthy. It ain't because of what you've done. Because what you do is because of what he's done and what he's doing. Pleading the blood of Christ is not a one-time thing, Christian. You can't be saved again. That's not what falling from grace is talking about. But you can certainly lose your liberty, lose your joy. Would you come tonight and say, Lord, I need to rest in your grace. I need to be lifted up and surrounded. You fought, you've tried, you give all your effort. You reached into yourself and you realize there's nothing more that you can do. Just embrace the liberty that he's calling to once again. Have that joy, that freedom. It's God that saves. Song says this. I know it's a song that we usually would sing whenever we're giving an altar call for somebody to be saved. If you're lost tonight, you need to be saved. Don't hesitate. Today is the day of salvation. But I believe that this message tonight was for the believer. In this song, he says this, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I can say yes to that. And it says this, are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, I just preached this, and so I can say that right now. But there's times that I can't always say that. It says, are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? I like the comparison there of those two. It says, are you walking daily by the Savior's side? When I think real hard about that question, I think I'd most often say no, regretfully. Not like I think I should be. But then it says, do you rest each moment in the crucible? It's not talking about, are you doing everything right? It's saying, are you resting and rejoicing in the fact that he has done everything? some minds clear. You have your postage paid. It's pretty clear to put up. All right. Brother AD, will you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you.